This is a podcast from SPH Radio.
This is The Green Wire, the podcast that plugs you into the latest in sustainability and technology with me, Rachel Kelly. Today we're joined by Vikas Garg, who's the founder and CEO of Abillion, to discuss his sustainability-focused social media app that aims to remove obstacles for individuals hoping to lead a more plant-based lifestyle. Vikas, thank you so much for joining us today.
It's a real pleasure. Thank you so much for having me on the show today, Rachel.
Oh, it's our pleasure to have you with us. So first, I've got to ask you, I was reading a bit about your background, and I understand that you had quite the high-flying career before, and you chose to stop it all and start up something with a more sustainable social purpose. Tell us a little bit more about the catalyst for change in your life that caused this, that started, that led to this journey for Abillion.
Well, for first, I just want to say, I'm not sure high-flying means different things to different people, but I think I was probably pretty grounded for most of my career, and just working hard like a lot of other people. I grew up in New York City and started working really when I was very young, when I was just a teenager. Okay. In finance, and so it just kind of kept that going for a really, really long time. And didn't really think about it, but it kind of brought me around the world and eventually brought me to Singapore about six or seven years back. I think like a lot of people, I kind of felt like I got to this fork in the road where I was ready to take the next step in my career, the next step on sort of the ladder of my career in finance. And I just kind of, I felt like, wow, I am now in my sort of mid-30s, and I'm going to still be working for the next 40, 50 years. And that next step for me was to start my own firm. And I just felt like, okay, well, I'm going to start a company, and the chances of succeeding or failure, the chances of failing are so high that it almost felt to me like, well, I should really think about any kind of company. And, I don't have to have such a prescription or be so prescriptive about what it is I am going to do in the future. And so, that really got me thinking in my early 30s about what it is that I wanted to do for the rest of my life. Mm-hmm.
And so with the world at your fingertips, and as you said, you could have gone down any avenue, right? But you've chosen to go down this particular avenue, this particular journey. Why focus on vegan, vegetarian lifestyles? Why start up this app?
Yeah, so, for me, I've been vegetarian since birth, and then I've been vegan for a really long time. Mm-hmm. And, it's always that lifestyle has always been something that's been really purposeful and kept me really grounded in my values. And I'll tell you, like, when you make a choice, as often as we make the choice around food, mm-hmm. and you apply some sort of filter around values to it, it's amazing how that then just transforms the rest of one's life, because you're constantly voting with your values and your principles. And one of the things that you do most often, it's probably, we probably eat more than we go to the bathroom, right, in a given day. And so it really is.
That's an interesting way to put it.
Right. And it is really one of these things that we do so often. We eat, we drink, we go places to do those things. We travel. And so I just really felt like there was an opportunity in this world to kind of center the conversation around sustainability, around what people put on their plates. And being vegetarian or being vegan is an amazing, amazing choice that an individual can make, or even trying to be, whether it's a day a week, a day a month, a couple of times a week, whatever it is, it's such an inspiring choice. But often, It feels very sacrificial. It feels very compromising, especially at the beginning, right? When you don't know where to go, you don't know what to try. It feels like you're missing out on something that you need, because everything around you tells you you need meat and things like that. And so what we wanted to do is really just improve that experience for people, make it cleaner and faster.
Yeah, and talk to us about the sustainability element of being vegan or vegetarian and how that message comes through on your app. I mean, I've downloaded your app, I've had a bit of a look and I've gone through it and I've read some of the reviews. And honestly, I didn't know that we had that many options in Singapore. Chicken cutlet fried rice, which is vegan. We've got some lovely drink options here as well. I mean, honestly, I'm hungry and I've already had lunch. But so maybe you can tell me about the journey to, I mean, this is a Green Wire after all. Tell us about the journey for developing the app, because you didn't have that kind of background, did you, going into this? So what was that like? What was the experience like getting into that and getting the tech off the ground?
It was really very, very humbling. It was probably one of the hardest things. And I can tell you, like, I started the company in July of 2017. And it probably wasn't until 9 or 10 months ago when our tech, like where you could really say that our tech really started to scale.
Okay.
And you know, a big part of it is just, it's a very, very lonely journey in the beginning when you're not from an industry and you're just starting out and you don't know anybody and you have no recognition or experience or clout. So, you know, one of the things that I did was probably one of the most humbling things that I did is that when I left the hedge fund industry, I enrolled myself in the coding boot camp.
Okay.
And I had no ambition to like become a world class coder in my apartment and kind of build this myself. That wasn't really why I did it. I did it because I just felt like even if I was going to interview, if I was going to hire, if I was going to manage and work with a team of coders, that I better at least try to understand the basics.
You've got to speak the language.
Yeah, to some extent, and that, you know, you've got to have empathy for people. That you've got to understand how the process works. And so I put myself in a room full of like 25 other, you know, wannabe coders. And I was the oldest person in the class. This was 3 months, full time, 9 to 7 every day. And it was every day I went home and I wanted to rip my hair out and tell my wife, just, I'm like the oldest person in this class. I'm the worst person in this class. And God forbid, like, I have to try to compete for a job as an entry-level coder, and I wouldn't even be able to get a job as an entry-level coder. That's how bad I am. But I kept on reminding myself that's not what I was there for. Mm-hmm. And, you know, I think I made an impression on some of the best, sort of the best of best in the room. And we got really lucky. That class ended up working for us. It was this 3-month general assembly program.
Okay.
I ended up hiring the 2 best coders in my cohort. Yeah. So, you know, we got really lucky and we hired one of the top sort of engineers and aspiring entry-level engineers from that course. 3 months later, we hired another one. And, you know, 3-4 years in, like, we've hired quite a few people from general assembly just because they're very, very passionate and driven, and they, you know, they're great people who are just sort of trying to find a place for themselves in sort of the development world and the engineering world. And it's been a fantastic experience.
You know, and that speaks to me as well. So I've recently gone back to school, and I'll tell you something. I was tearing my hair out close to midnight trying to play around with Excel spreadsheets and the rest of it last night. So thank you for sharing that positive story. And, you know, just going on from that, let's talk about the app and the take up that you've seen so far. From that development stage, you know, you went back to school, you had to kind of learn the basics to really build this baby. What kind of take up have you seen since launching the app?
Yeah, so it was really slow in the beginning. A lot of it is learning. So you've got some preconceived notions about it. It's, you know, it's not just an app, there's a website, there's a whole business that we're kind of building around what's happening on the app. And then we know we can get into that, but in the beginning, it's really, you have an idea as to what you think people will want. And then you actually see people using it. And what are they using before might often be very different.
So how did that change then from the start? How did the business evolve on the back of those consumer trends that you saw from the take up and the usage of the app?
Well, so we, for example, right, like we, you know, we started off with this idea, and if you look back to 2017, early in 2017, we just had the US elections. So 2016, extremely divisive, social media had turned into this weapon for social mass destruction, right? And it just felt like, wow, there was an opportunity to create a better kind of social media experience, one that was really focused on values. And that's what we're about. We said, hey, we're going to create a social media platform for sustainability. and we're going to start right within a niche within that sort of sustainability is this huge, huge thing. We're going to start within a niche of that, which we think is very, very big, which is we're going to help people find vegan food. And we said, okay, look, how do we avoid some of the anger and some of the personal attacking that's going on social media and really boil it down to helping people and helping people find things. So instead of just kind of creating a general social media platform where people can post any random thought, we actually brought it back down to kind of, if you look, one of the predecessors one of the early sort of functions of user-generated content has been consumer reviews. And so we really brought it back to consumer reviews and said, let's start with consumer reviews. Let's help people review things and then find things. So we started off with this sort of notion that consumer reviews, which is a really good utility, but you know, then we married that with some sort of social engagement where people could comment and follow and kind of, you know, really come together in a community. And I think that that's really what has really started to take off in the last 12 months is that sense of community inside the platform, because we've just got better at connecting people and, you know, and really driving that engagement.
And so now
we're doing different things there. You know, you need to do different things to sort of, you know, really build a great social experience that gets people thinking about sustainability every single day, which ultimately is our goal. We want to make sustainability a habit for everyone.
You're listening to The Green Wire, the podcast that plugs you into the latest in sustainability and technology with me, Rachel Kelly. In this episode, we're joined by Vikas Garg, founder and CEO of Abillion, to talk about sustainable social media.
And talk to us about the community, because the name of the app and the business is linked to your target, right? Abillion. Tell us more about that number. What are you hoping to achieve?
Well, there's a billion of a lot of things. You know, we started with 1 billion people, and that if we could accelerate the 1 billion people in this world living more sustainably, living a plant-based lifestyle or a vegan lifestyle, or even 1 billion people reducing their meat consumption, some sort of mix of people around the world, but 1 billion conscious consumers, we could make a real dent on sustainability. We can make a vast improvement from where we are today to where we need to be as a society. And there's obviously, it's interesting because you look at meat consumption around the world is spiking, it's rising, and it's estimated to, you know, to double and triple over the next 20, 30 years. And that's a really, really scary thing for the environment. It's a really scary thing for animals, of course. And it's a really scary thing for people because, you know, meat consumption is tied to all the problems that we face as people, health problems. So that was first and foremost something that we wanted to tackle, is how do you actually turn 1 billion people onto this, right? And it all starts small. If you look at our logo, we've got something in our logo which is 10 to the power of 9. And 10 to the power of 9 is 1 billion.
There we go.
Yeah, 10 to the power of 9 equals 1 billion. But it's also the idea that something as small, something that starts off as small as 10, can grow into something much bigger. And in a way, that's really the power of the community. So, you know, we want to have 1 billion options for people to discover around the world. We want to help, you know, not 1 billion maybe, but help millions of businesses and help millions of entrepreneurs over the next 10, 20 years develop businesses in the sustainability space and find financial sustainability in doing so. We want to create a great consumer platform where billions of dollars are spent every year on things that are actually improving the earth.
So talk to us, how big is the community at the moment then, Vikas?
Yeah, so our app has been downloaded almost about 1 million times. Around the world, and we're on iOS and we're on Android. So, you know, anyone anywhere in the world.
Where are you seeing the biggest take up?
Yeah, so that's been super interesting. And, you know, if you asked me this question 3 or 4 years ago in terms of like, hey, where do you want to grow? I would have probably answered the question really differently. But, you know, it's been amazing to see how much growth there has been in Spanish speaking markets around the world, which is places where there's some of the highest meat consumption. So the first city, and you know, for a company and a platform at our stage, 25,000 members in one particular city is a lot. So 25,000 people in one city, our first city globally where we had 25,000 people was Buenos Aires, which is just crazy. Like, we're helping meat eaters in VA eat less meat. And that's really, really, really cool. So that was something that I could have never predicted, that we're helping people in Mexico and in Spain and in places like Argentina live healthier and live in a more principled sort of, you know, or more live much more sustainably. Other markets that are sort of the obvious markets, North America. So, you know, markets like the US, Canada form close to about a third of our users globally. Europe, okay. Of course. Markets in Europe that are really exciting for us are like the UK, Spain, Italy, South Africa, believe it or not, is really big for us, and then Australia and Singapore.
You know, I wonder as well, to what extent would you say that this has been driven by the pandemic, or what kind of take-up change have you seen on the back of the pandemic? Because we have seen a shift towards a greater awareness on, I mean, it's climate change is something that's been discussed over the last few years anyway, but in terms of sustainability, thinking more sustainably, consuming more sustainably, that coupled with inflation for meat, for example, in Brazil, to what extent do you think that's driven the take-up of the app?
Sure. So, I mean, COVID has definitely, look, I think COVID has been, COVID has just been a really crazy time for people and people in the earth. And we've had to learn how to kind of carry on and try to work around all of the various different parameters and restrictions. Mm-hmm. And, you know, frankly, people are suffering, right? Mm-hmm. I don't know. It's hard for me to say that COVID has been responsible for our growth as well, because if you look at last year, we had four record consecutive quarters of growth. I think a lot of that came from the product getting better and our messaging and sort of our reach and our audience also getting bigger, right? And this year, it's sort of the same thing. We had a very, very strong start to the year. April is going to be our best month. And that's, you know, that's just because we finally we're starting to just get a lot more done as a team. The product continues to get better and better. I can definitely tell you that, like, when it comes to awareness of sustainability issues, if you look at last year and just look at like the documentaries on Netflix that did the best, they all had to do with social issues. They all had to do either with social, you know, various different social issues around sort of people's rights, as well as a lot of documentaries about animals.
Seaspiracy more recently, right?
Seaspiracy is a great example of something that, you know, I think in Singapore, Seaspiracy is top 10 on Netflix right now.
That's right.
So, you know, we continue to see that trend where in popular culture, these issues are being discussed more. And there's definitely a greater respect for people who are trying to make these changes and shifts. They're not seen so much as sort of people in a fringe movement as much as they are as, hey, wow, that's very, very responsible. And that's, you know, that's awesome. That's actually interesting and trendy. And I think that that's really one of the big shifts, I'd say, in society that we're seeing.
So let's talk more about what other plans you have, because I understand you've got a very ambitious goal. You're looking for the apps community to donate about $1 million this year. Is that right? What are you planning to do with that money, and how far are you off that target?
Yeah, so we actually, what we do is we gamify the whole experience of building a social media platform, right? We're a user-generated content platform, which is awesome. And, you know, the challenge with user-generated content platforms is, in order to really demonstrate value for the community, for those people who are just going to get on it and try to use it to find things or be entertained, is you need to have that content created, right? And so for us, it was always like, well, how do you do that? And how do you do that in a really constructive way? So we chose a path that I don't think we've ever seen anyone else do, which is, hey, instead of spending money on marketing, we're going to create impact in the world. We donate money when people eat vegan. And if, you know, you take a photo and you share a review on the app, that puts a credit in your pocket that can be then used to sort of donate to one of our conservation partners around the world.
So what's next for A Billion then, Vikas? What have you got in the pipeline? You've got plans, expansion plans. How are you going to be growing the business in the next year or so? Because it is a business after all, isn't it?
Yeah, so we by the end of this year, our plans to, by the end of this year, sort of unveil a very new kind of marketplace that we hope one day grows into sort of being the marketplace that supports entrepreneurship and sustainability around the world. If you think back to 2005 or 2006, when Etsy was first created, Etsy brought a whole generation of people who make handcrafted things, gave them a platform to sell. And that's really what we want to do for the sustainability space.
Wonderful. Well, thank you so much for sharing all of those updates with us. It's been wonderful speaking with you today. We could speak for much longer, I'm sure, but we've already run over on time. So thank you so much for that.
Thanks, Rachel.
You've been listening to The Green Wire, the podcast that plugs you into the latest in sustainability and technology with me, Rachel Kelly. And we've been speaking with Vikas Garg, founder and CEO of A Billion.
The Green Wire is a production of SPH Radio. It's hosted and produced by Rachel Kelly from Money FM 89.3. You can also find us on Spotify, iTunes, Google Podcast, and streaming on Google Home. And if you have feedback for us, send it to sphradio@sph.com.sg.